This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it's hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you. Thank you for joining us in hour one. We are powered up for hour two. And, of course, we're going to open up our mic once again for our fantastic producer. That is Shay Raftus, who helps kick off our program each and every week. He is so fired up. He's the biggest college football junkie. Week one of the college football season, we talked about it a little bit in hour one. But one of the games we've got a preview, Shay, Michigan-Notre Dame. What say you?
Yeah, it's a big game, and the next game we'll talk about as well is a similar thing. We got Michigan bringing in a transfer quarterback, Shea Patterson from Ole Miss, very heralded coming out of college. The whole Ole Miss off-the-field stuff goes down. He wants to transfer to Michigan. He gets granted immediate eligibility, and, you know, Patterson, to be fair, did struggle against some of the better opponents in the SEC. He did kind of pad his stats. At the same time, I do think he'll be better in Harbaugh's system, and I also think that he is just so much better than any quarterback they've had, that even if he's just a solid B quarterback, it's better than anything Michigan's had, and I think that'll be the difference here. I think they beat Notre Dame outright. I actually think Notre Dame is one of the most overrated teams this year. I think Michigan's underrated coming off a 5-loss season. Michigan outright win over Notre Dame. Patterson will play well, but their defense will be the difference. They will overwhelm Brandon Woodbush and the Irish in South Bend.
Well, Notre Dame had some heavy losses. Players that graduated went on to the NFL. Of course, Shay Raftus, SB Nation Radio, with us tonight as we break it all down. You know, I think about here in Houston, NRG Stadium, we've got Ole Miss and Texas Tech. What do you think about this SEC Big 12 matchup? Are you going to be there?
No, I'm actually, sadly, it's because at the same time as the Ohio State-Oregon State, I will be at another neutral site matchup, Ohio State and TCU. As far as this game goes, I would lean, it's tough because I think Texas Tech has a lot of pressure on them. I think Ole Miss also does too with the new head coach. It's tough. I'll go Ole Miss because I do think I like their new quarterback a little bit better, and I just don't trust Texas Tech defense. I think Ole Miss can get a couple more stops even though I don't trust their defense as much. I just think they have better athletes up front, and that's to me what it'll come down to.
Well, but now Texas Tech, hold on for all of our Red Raider fans out there. I mean, they can light it up. They are an offensive juggernaut. Let's not forget the kind of numbers offensively they posted last year.
True, and that's why I think it'll be a very close game. I can see it going either way.
Okay, Shay Raftus has been with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Much more coming your way here in hour two. Come on back and join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. That's right, NFL news and notes coming your way. But first, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, the team that we are shining the spotlight on is the Oakland Raiders, because you know what? They have generated a lot of buzz in the offseason. We've got you covered. Team preview and prediction, the best guest on the planet to talk about the Oakland Raiders. And that, of course, is two-time Super Bowl winning head coach Tom Flores. It's good to have you back on the show tonight, Tom.
Well, it's always nice to talk to you and talk about sports and life in general, and life in general in the Raider Nation. Well, war room right now is heated up, but even though they play, the preseason is over, and they don't play anybody in preseason anymore. The whole thing has changed a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, the Raiders wrapped up their preseason game in Seattle last night. But just overall, let's talk about, the product that they've put on the field and just the progress, perhaps, that they have made. What's your confidence level, and what stands out in your mind, Tom?
Well, I think, I feel good about what they've done offensively, because their number one draft choice was an offensive tackle, which they needed one. They just, needed to get stronger there, and they're relatively young, but Last year, their offensive line was one of their strengths. They need to protect the quarterback, obviously. Amari Cooper has to bounce back, and Derek Carr has to have a good year. Marshawn Lynch, I had my doubts on him, but he seems to be lighter and a new life in his legs. And then they got some young guys, and Chris Warren, a young undrafted rookie, mm-hmm. looking the best back in camp right now. Defensively, I worry about them because they made a lot of changes there, especially in their defensive backfield. I mean, I don't know if they have any corners right now. They're going to have to prove that, corners and linebackers. And they have to get back in camp, obviously. That's going to be an issue. Without Khalil Mack, their defense is just another defense.
Legendary Raider head coach and quarterback Tom Flores with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You're kind of breaking down some of those positions that they needed to address in the offseason, talking about offensive tackle. But I think one of the biggest names that we definitely have to highlight, and I want to get your takeaways on this, Tom, is John Gruden, because he certainly receives a lot of praise for being a quarterback guru. What has he shown you, and do you believe that he's one of the best offensive minds in football when it comes to developing a quarterback, especially a special one that you guys have in Derek Carr?
Well, I hope so. I hope he's as good as everybody thinks he is. It's not easy to do. First of all, you have to have a quarterback with talent, and it's always a lot easier to develop a guy with talent. And sometimes you're lucky into it, sometimes you don't. I mean, look at Bill Belichick up in New England. When Tom Brady retires, Belichick better retire, because he's the one that's kept that thing alive all these years. I like Derek Carr. I like everything he does. He's a hard worker. He pays attention. But he's also had a lot of offensive coordinators and head coaches in his short career. So he's good. So how he does in this, working for John, I don't know. John's a hard worker himself. So he's going to get those guys. He'll be cracking the whip. He loves the quarterback. He loves the passing game. He loves all the strategy involved. He's got to get back into the pace of the game, though, because that, after his 9-10 year hiatus, that's what you miss the most, is the pace game day. And since he's going to be called to plays, he's got to live up to that speed. And it'll be interesting to see. I wish him well. He's got some weapons. The thing I like about it the most is he's going to use the fullback again. Mm-hmm. He likes to run the ball with a fullback in the backfield. I like that thinking.
Well, John Gruden, as you have said, I mean, he is a no-nonsense kind of guy. He's very demanding of his players. We all, as fans, you know, we waited a long time for him to return to the sideline. How do you think Derek Carr, I like him in terms of his demeanor, his disposition. He seems so coachable. How do you think he has responded and connected with his new head coach in John Gruden?
Well, I think he's done well. I mean, he's done all the things publicly that you want a quarterback. You know, he speaks highly of John. He's a very positive guy. He's a player's player, because he if you watch the body language during the course of a game, he's all over the sideline talking to different players. You like that in a quarterback. You like that in your teammates. So in that respect, that's all good. But when you get on the field, you still have to do the job. He's got to stay healthy, and he's got to get some of that magic back that he had a couple of years ago when he was almost player of the year. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the injury set him back a little bit. And then the movement of the different coaches. You know, Jack Del Rio, I thought, did a good job when he was there, but the Raiders wanted Gruden and they got him.
Well, does Derek Carr, does he look different to you so far from what you've seen?
No, but I haven't seen much of him.
Mm-hmm, right.
I didn't get up to training camp or I didn't go to practices. And you don't see nowadays, you don't see much of anything. You know, the Rams haven't even played the quarterback. The first three games, he hasn't played at all. They're number one. Carr has played very little. So it's hard to say what I've seen, because I haven't seen it. And like I said, I haven't been to practices. So, you know, everything that you hear coming out of camp is very positive. But John also, you know, John is a taskmaster. And he's a very positive guy and very vocal about it. And here we go. It's almost mm-hmm. time to tee them up for the first league game, and that's going to be exciting because the Rams.
Oh yeah,
the Rams are pretty well loaded this year. Their defense is pretty well loaded. If they get their star defensive lineman to come into camp, they're going to have a formidable defense.
Okay, the Oakland Raiders heading into a brand new season with a lot of questions that still need to be answered. We're so delighted to have with us tonight at SB Nation Radio Super Bowl winning coach, and that, of course, is Tom Flores. You've highlighted, talked about some of the upgrades at some of the key positions that the Raiders had to address in the offseason. With these upgrades, just overall, I mean, you want to throw it out there? I mean, what are your expectations? What kind of record could we, as Raider fans, what could Raider fans be looking at? Is this going to be a winning season for
you? I think it's going to be a winning season. I think this is a good time to make your move in the AFC West because there's no team that looks like they're dominating on both sides of the ball. You know, Kansas City, their offense looks awesome. I don't know how their defense is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego, their defense is going to be good. Offensively, it's still waiting to see how they're going to be. Denver, I think you kind of flip a coin. They don't have a quarterback yet. And until that happens, they're going to have some issues. So this is a good time for the Raiders to make their move.
Only about 60 seconds. Tom Flores with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Legendary Raider, head coach, quarterback. And I wanted to ask you, as a former head coach, I mean, what's some of the biggest challenges that you face this time of year when you're narrowing down, you're whittling down your roster, and getting into that 53-man roster?
Well, the biggest challenges you have is hoping you make the right choices, and the Raiders right now have some easy choices and some tough choices. The tough ones will be running back.
Yeah,
they've got an array of running backs, and who are they going to keep?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep a fullback, probably just keep one fullback. I don't think they'll keep two, unless that second guy is really a good special teams guy and can also play running back. Connor Cook looks like he's a legitimate second, backup quarterback. Offensive line, I think it's pretty well set. But like I said, the biggest challenge will be who will be the corners and who will be the linebackers, and can we get Khalil Mack back in camp?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch how it all plays out. Tom Flores, legendary Oakland Raider with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. All the best, and we look forward to catching up with you just a little bit later in the season. Thank you so much, Tom.
Anytime. You got it.
Yes, sir. Much more coming your way right here at the Next Generation of Sports Radio. That is SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it is Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio. The Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview, always love to connect with all of our audience. You can reach us at Twitter at eRadioSports. Also email the show at info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our guests. And before we get underway, also, we've got to remind you, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. We know it is week one of the college football season. We've been talking a lot about the NFL preseason wrapping up. Right now, we're going to completely shift gears. That's right. We're going to talk some soccer, MLS. And we are so delighted and honored to have with us, that is Joe Stetson. He is the New York Red Bulls Chief Marketing Officer. He does it all. He oversees the marketing, communications, community relations, sponsorship, and youth training programs. And it's Joe's very first time on the show. Good evening, Joe, and thank you so much for carving out some time.
Thanks for having me, Alyssa. I really appreciate it.
Well, we got a lot of ground to cover. So first and foremost, give us an overview of the season and how it's played out. We are, SB Nation Radio, our home base is right here in Houston, and you guys took care of business the other night against our Dynamo.
Yeah, we actually hosted you folks here on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We had a great win for us. Sorry for the Houston listeners, but we had a good win on our side on Wednesday, and we have another match tomorrow night in Montreal. And we're having a great season. We we win, if we win tomorrow night, we clinch a playoff spot and we tie the franchise record for most wins in the season. So we're on pace to have our best season yet. So we're really excited.
Okay, so of course the other night that was your 17th win of the season. Kind of just step back and summarize. Why are you guys having success? I mean, it sounds like it's been your best season so far.
Yeah, we've created a really great system here over the last few years. We changed the philosophy to really reflect the style of play that's high press style that fits with young youth speed, and we've really developed within. We actually have what we call a great homegrown system of players that have developed through our youth programs, through our academy, have been with the program for a long time and know the style of play. So when it's their time to make it up to the first team, they've been playing that style for a while. And it's really worked. We've had some great success over the years. We've made the playoffs 14 out of the last 15 years. We've won the Supporters Shield, which goes to the team with the best record in the season. We won that twice over the last 5 years. Hopefully, we do it again this year and get 3 out of 6. And we're looking to get that MLS Cup this year. So we're really proud of what we've done as a team. We have some really fun and exciting players. That both have gone through the system, that have also joined the team in the last couple of years. Bradley Wright Phillips is really the most prolific goal scorer in MLS history. He scored his 100th goal, in the least amount of games just a couple of weeks ago. So we celebrated that, we're really excited about the team.
MLS Talk, we're going one-on-one with Joe Stetson. He's the New York Red Bulls Chief Marketing Officer. And, as we talk about the Red Bulls right now, they're at the top of the Eastern Conference in MLS. And, we talk about the importance of momentum within a season. How critical is that? Because this stretch that's coming up, it was very important for you guys to take care of business against Houston. And, of course, as you're talking about on Saturday night against Montreal, you got to keep those good times rolling.
Yeah, it's a long season, just in terms of the length of time. It's a 34-game season, but it spans between March and October. And, like many leagues, you really want to be peaking as the playoffs roll around because the playoffs is almost a new season. So, we have seven games left in the regular season, and then the playoffs start at the end of October, early November. So we're just hoping to be able to keep that momentum, as you said, Alyssa, and really be peaking come playoff time.
Okay, just curiosity on my part. Talk to me about as far as your fan base and the attendance and what kind of numbers are coming out and supporting the Red Bulls.
Yeah, the support here has been great. This is my fifth season, and taking a look at the last three seasons, we've been averaging around 20,000 fans a game, which is which is more than the NBA and NHL teams are getting in this area. So we're really proud of that. The sport is growing locally and in the country as well. You're seeing the participation grow. We played a big role in that. We've been growing the sport of soccer, within the community here for 20 years now, over 20 years now. We've been in this market and really growing the youth participation. We have about 45,000 kids coming through our soccer programs each year, which I don't think is matched anywhere else in the country, to be honest with you. And we're really proud of that. And because of that, and because of the growth of MLS, because of the excitement around soccer and how that's growing, in this country, the numbers are going up, and we're really playing a big role there.
Absolutely. MLS, you guys are trending in the right direction. As you're talking about, the league has grown so much, even over the past, 4 to 5 years. Do you think perception-wise, Joe, does it get the respect that it deserves?
I think to answer that question, you almost have to take a step back and realize this league's only been around for 23 years,
Okay.
And it's still young, right? And so I do think that respect for the league is growing, both from competition side as well as the business side, right? So competitively, you're watching Major League Soccer, you're seeing a high quality soccer, which has improved over the years, over the 23 years. So I think the style of play is exciting, especially the style of play that we play, as I was mentioning before, kind of that high press, exciting, fast paced style of play. But you're seeing a lot of stars coming over here, not just, what you've seen in the past where stars were coming at the tail end of their career. And those are still happening too. And we're excited to have, big name stars coming over here like Wayne Rooney and Zlatan as well. But you're also starting to see global players that are in their prime coming over here too, coming in, at the age of 19, at 23, 28. We have a Argentinian player named Cacu, who joined us. He's 23 years old. He is he's a superstar. And he came and he decided he had options to play many places around the world, and he decided to come here. You see Sebastian Giovenco in Toronto, who came over here at the age of 27 from Italy. And these are stars that are coming here at their prime. And so, I think on the competition side, it's really starting to grow and get the respect it deserves. Still a long ways to go, only in 23 years. And then on the business side, you're seeing a lot of brands and partners that really want to be a part of what's going on here. They're seeing the numbers, they're seeing the attendance rise, they're seeing the viewership numbers rise, they're seeing the number of teams increase, over the years as well. And, I'll go back to the youth participation. The youth participation in the U.S. is really, really strong. So the kids, want to not only play soccer, but they want to view it and they want to come and experience it live. So you're seeing a lot of brands that want to leverage the impact that soccer is having, not only in this country, but also here locally. We're seeing that with brands that want to take part because they want to reach those that audience, that special audience that we have. The league does a great job with millennials, does a great job with Hispanic and Latinos, does a great job with families. Mm-hmm. And so there really is something there for business partners, for sponsors, brands that want to be a part of it. And we're happy to be a part of it.
So you view it as a good thing when, as you're talking about international icons like Wayne Rooney, when they cross over from overseas into the league, this influx of international players, it energizes the game, and it's a good thing. And the fan base, they receive it.
Yeah, they really do. And, for us, having a star like Wayne Rooney come over, it does add that additional awareness. Where we are, as a young league, we're always looking for ways to reach a broader audience. And if a Wayne Rooney coming over here helps that, that's great. And he's, the interesting thing is that he's coming over, and he's not coming over here just to relax his final years of his career. He's playing hard. He's lifted the level of play for the team. They were here. DC was here last week. We played against DC, last week. And I'll tell you, our players played up because they knew they were playing against Wayne Rooney. So, it's good to have those stars come on over and impact the league that way.
Hey, just a few more minutes tonight. SB Nation Radio with Joe Stetson, New York Red Bulls Chief Marketing Officer. Joe was named Major League Soccer Marketer of the Year in 2017. Very impressive credentials. And one of the things I want to pause and have us talk about tonight, Joe, is how do you think the World Cup in USA here in 2026, how is that going to impact as far as energizing the game?
It's going to have a great impact. We see every 4 years when the World Cup comes around, no matter where it is, there's a lot of excitement, obviously globally, but especially here in the U.S. Even this year, when the U.S. team was not participating, you couldn't go anywhere and not feel the effect of the World Cup, during those months this summer, right? And so, in 2026, with it being here in the U.S., we're going to take part. Red Bull Arena is going to take part in that in 2026. We were part of the hosting committee during the bid process, so we're going to play a role there too. We're obviously, as a team and as a league and as a venue, are going to try to leverage it as much as we can. But most importantly, if you take a look at the last time the World Cup was here in the U.S., mm-hmm. that was 1994. The Major League Soccer, the league that we're in right now, was created because of the success of U.S. Because of the success of soccer during the World Cup when it was here in 1994. The league, big reason why the league started to take shape in 1994 and started in 96 was because of that impact that the World Cup had. So you can just imagine what that impact could be in 8 years.
Absolutely. We've only got about 30 seconds. Give us a quick hit on the fact of expansion with MLS and going into Nashville. All my family's in Nashville, so that's super exciting. That's a great city.
It's a great city. It's a great sports town.
Great
success there. Expanding to Cincinnati, expansion to Miami. The league has done a great job of really being thoughtful about their process of trying to find the right new cities for their teams. We're at 23 teams right now. We'll be 26 the next couple of years with those three cities that I mentioned. And you know what? It's been great. It's been great for the sport of soccer. It's been great for the awareness across the country. And you know what? These cities like Nashville and Cincinnati, in Miami, have proven that there is a hunger, there's an appetite for soccer
yes.
there. So, it's just gonna be great adding those teams to our league.
Well, it's certainly been great visiting with Joe Stetson, New York Red Bulls chief marketing officer. Continued success, and you guys finished the season strong. Thank you so much, Joe. First time on the show, we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Alyssa. I really appreciate it. It was lots of fun.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night. We are so glad you're with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. For the commercial break, we have got some college football coming up. But first, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, the month of September, it is upon us, and that means it is time for some college football. All this excitement has given me an acute case of laryngitis, but helping me out tonight, helping the Big E, is one of our favorite guests. We are so delighted to welcome back one of the leading authorities in college recruiting, Robert Cagle. He is the Vice President of Public Relations and National Scouting Director for NSR. Robert, did you know, was a standout football player and academic All-American at Ole Miss. And I know he is super fired up about the game against Texas Tech right here, NRG Stadium, on Saturday. Welcome back, Robert. Good to have you on the show.
Liz, it's always good to be with you, and I sure do hate to hear that the laryngitis is getting a hold of you. But, hey, I used to have laryngitis all the time in the fall now, Liz, because it was when I was coaching. And, you know, it would start about August the 1st, and my laryngitis lasted till about December.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you just all the hollering and screaming and yelling and just motivating kids and, you know, not hollering at them, by the way, but trying to get their attention and coaching them up. And so I know you may have a little taste of it. I understand it.
Absolutely.
But, it's football time, especially in the South.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so week one, it is finally here. And so let's talk about your Rebels because they're going to be here Saturday, NRG Stadium. It's a big game. What are your expectations?
You know, we all know – obviously, I left blood, sweat, tears on the field at Ole Miss years and years ago, and so I'm an Ole Miss guy through and through. But here's the bottom line: we've got a lot to establish this year. Matt Luke and his staff, I think, have done a great job of trying to maneuver themselves through the NCAA mess and all the stuff that went on with that this past year and year and a half. And I think that, you know, they've gotten themselves at a point where things are kind of stabilized. And I think they're good with what they've recruited and how they've positioned themselves to come out this year and compete. I think what we're going to see is you're going to see a very upbeat coaching staff. You're going to see a very upbeat style of offense. I think you're going to see a hard-nosed defense that takes the field. Little concerned about depth just because of some of the restrictions and some things concerning recruiting from the NCAA standpoint. And so, I think they're going to be physical. They're going to be big and strong and physical. They will be fast. I think they'll be faster this year than they've been on offense in a little bit. But Matt's done a great job over there of trying to get everything where it needs to be. This is literally a great stage, as you mentioned, for Ole Miss to come in with Tech. And it's going to be – and the truth is, it's great for both programs. Both programs need the national attention. They desire the national attention. Of course, in the state of Texas, as competitive as recruiting is in the state for the in-state kids with all of the institutions that are vying for those kids, obviously Texas Tech wants to have a great presence and they want to make a great showing against a Southeastern Conference team that I think this year is probably as much as I hate to say it, I think Ole Miss is a 500 team this year. I think they'll win as many as they lose. That's probably a win for where they are in the process.
Okay, Ole Miss last season, 6 wins. But this is a team, perhaps, you know, that the Rebels, you cannot take lightly. We think back to last season, though. They had some momentum, Robert, winning 3 of their last 4 games. And so, and also, you know, you can't forget that big win against Mississippi State. So they did a good job executing that game plan, you know, with and adapting to having that interim head coach, who is now the head coach, as you had mentioned, in Matt Luke.
Yeah, you know, and Matt did a great job of like we said before, stabilizing. And I think we saw the beginning of the stabilization of the program about mid-season last year. I think you began to see that and him getting into a groove and his staff kind of getting into a good place where they were comfortable with each other through the whole process. The thing with winning your last 3 games, beating Mississippi State is always a big deal. you know, it's and Matt goes back. You know, Matt's brother Tommy and I played together. Tommy Luke, Tom
really?
Luke.
Really? Okay.
Yes, was on. He and I played together when I was there. Matt came in after me, played on as an offensive lineman after a couple of years after I graduated, finished in '90, and then of course Matt and Tommy's dad was an Ole Miss guy too. He played football at Ole Miss in the '60s.
Oh wow!
And so we're talking about a family that's got a legacy of football at Ole Miss, and so it's a big deal for Matt. You know, he is trying his best to establish himself as the guy that was meant to be in that program, not because of any other reason, as it was supposed to be him all along. And I think this year, as he carries that momentum, they're going to do everything they can to prove that they are they're formidable as far as a coaching staff this year. They're formidable as an opponent to everybody they play. And I think that that momentum that he carried on the last three games, especially beating your in-state rival, is a game changer. And I hope as those of us that are sitting outside watching, you know, we're definitely big Ole Miss fans. We're pulling for the Ole Miss to do their thing. I tell you that. So we wish Matt and his staff the very best, as we do every staff, you know, that starts, no matter what the school, we want them all to do well as they go out.
Well, Robert, listening to the optimism in your voice, you sound pretty excited, and you seem, as a former player, proud of the product and how the culture is changing there with Rebels Nation.
We are. You know, we always, you know, some of us that still stay in contact with each other from a alumni football standpoint, you know, and we are proud of it. You know, it's something that you – and that's the thing about playing athletics in college. And for all the listeners out there that are listening, you know, I think that's the reason I do what I do for a living. Alyssa, it's a game changer for a young man or a young lady to get the opportunity to play their sport in college, because it truly creates in you the sense of pride. Because, less than 5% of the kids that play in high school are going to play in college, period, and less than one-half of 1% of the kids that play in high school are going to play at a major Power 5 conference school. So when you start talking about a young lady or a young man that has a chance to play, you take all those guys I played with, those people that you played with back in the day when you were playing, you know, it's a special group of people,
right?
And it really is. And you remember those things, and you take pride in your school, you take pride in your colors, and even when they make mistakes, you're going to stand by them. And yeah, we're going to badmouth them a little bit, because things that, you know, we could have, we all do that, right?
Uh-huh.
But we're going to stand with them, and we're going to be proud of what they're trying to accomplish. I think we are proud of what we're seeing. I think we're going to be proud of them 2 years from now as they do the transition through all of this.
It is hard to believe week one of the college football season kicks off this weekend. Ole Miss, Texas Tech, right here in Houston. Really cool. How about the fact, you know, Robert, at a neutral site in an NFL stadium? I know back in the day when you were playing in the 80s, don't you wish you could have played in an NFL stadium?
You know, that would have been pretty cool, but I got to be honest with you now. I mean, the NFL stadiums are nice, and don't get me wrong. I mean, you're talking about some unbelievable facilities. I mean, these guys in NFL now, the facilities these guys are building are amazing. But listen, as a kid at 17, 18 years old, 19 years old back in the day, and you go and you play in Neyland Stadium with 100,000 screaming, I mean, Rocky Top, bright orange, and you go play in the swamp. Florida at the time was about 85,000, or you go to Death Valley, and there's about 95,000 folks with LSU. I mean, the Go Tigers, the Cajuns, wide open. I mean, those were big deals. But then you take it a whole new level when you get these brand new NFL facilities that they've just upped it up. The facilities themselves are beautiful, first of all. Secondly, they're first class. Everything about them for the fans is first class, from the seating to the concessions to the facilities that you can use and have fun with. All that kind of stuff is pretty cool. And then you bring in the whole size of the crowd that comes in it. So it's cool, it's neat, but make no mistake, that kid that's going to play this weekend for Texas Tech or for Ole Miss or for Texas or A&M, and they play in front of a big crowd, that kid is excited. But I tell you what else too, the kid that's an NAIA Division II, Division III kid that's playing in front of, you know, 15 or 20,000 people or 10,000 people, like wherever stadium they're playing, and that kid is just as excited about his game this weekend as those folks that are going to be playing big time. So I'm excited for the season to get started, and I'm excited for all these kids that are about to have their first college game, and for these kids that are going to pick up and continue their college careers just playing football this weekend.
Hey, you're listening to The Voice, National Scouting Report, Vice President of Public Relations. That is Robert Cagle back with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com. We always like to pause and have Robert Cagle connect with you. So, Robert, go out there and hand out some advice or some information on where they can reach and connect with you.
That'd be great. So if you have a young man or young lady that wants to play in college, you know, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. National Scouting Report, we've been doing what we do since 1980. We're the world's oldest and largest scouting recruiting organization, but we still do things the right way. We evaluate kids, and listen, once we've evaluated the kid, if we feel like that athlete can play somewhere at the next level, then we'll have a conversation with the family. So we still all operate like college coaches. And I realize there's tons of online recruiting, quote-unquote, services out there that are willing to talk to families about things. But if you can't talk to somebody specifically that's been there, done that, that's a former coach, that's coached at the collegiate level, that understands what's going on, and that's what we do, is we're guys and girls that are helping young people live their dream of playing in college. So if you go to NSR, you can go look us up, NSR-INC.com, or you can Google Coach Robert Cagle, either one. You go to NSR-Inc.com, or you can Google Coach Robert Cagle, and you can find me. And look, we'll be glad to evaluate your kid. We'll evaluate your team. There's all kind of things that we're willing to do to help you see if your child or your team, or guys on your team or girls on your team, that can play somewhere at the next level. And then we'll be glad to talk to you about that. That's just what we do every day. Listen, and we enjoy it.
Is this one of your busiest times of the year, Robert?
You know, years ago, I think we would tell you, yeah, we would get this time of year because football season kicks up, and it does seem like the collegiate world revolves around football season. And the truth is, most high school athletic programs revolve around the football season as well. It does pick up some, just in the sense of the demand that we have as far as athletes and parents that want us to review them and see if they truly can play at the collegiate level and evaluate them, which we're glad to do. We're always glad to do that. But it is a little uptick for us. It does get busier because high schools are now in session and things kind of get back. But we're steady year round simply because we recruit and scout in every sport that's an NCAA scholarship sport. So we do everything from lacrosse to golf to tennis to basketball. If it's a football, if it's baseball, softball, if it has a ball and they play it collegiately for a scholarship, and sometimes they don't have to ball. I mean, we do equestrian and rodeo.
Oh, really?
And
we
help kids and everything. And so it's pretty cool. But it does get an uptick this time of year in the fall.
Week one of the college football season, we're breaking it all down with Robert Cagle from NSR. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, breaking down all the games in college football with Robert Cagle from National Scouting Report. Okay, Robert Cagle with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, National Scouting Report, VP of Public Relations. And so take us inside the huddle. I mean, what is the most stressful part of the recruiting process for a potential student athlete? And talk about how NSR, how you guys minimize that anxiety and help those student athletes along.
Okay. Here's the bottom line. You know, Susan, my wife, yeah. as a listeners may not, but we've got two children and went through the recruiting process. And I tell people all the time, look, even with who I am and who Susan is as far as being a national director for NSR as well, mm-hmm. we both understand the process from the top to the bottom. And we've seen that process both years ago for me as an athlete being recruited to the athlete that was in college to a college recruiter to a high school coach to an NSR guy that recruits all over the United States. We've seen it from every aspect. But then we learned it as a parent, you know. And Alyssa, when you begin the process as a parent, you can throw out everything you think you know about recruiting.
Right.
And it's kind of like this. I tell people all the time, you know, recruiting can cause a lot of anxiety because most parents are getting a lot of information from really, really well-intended sources. Mm-hmm. They're just not good sources. And what I mean by that is they got somebody that knows somebody, and they're asking them questions. And, the high school coach is a good guy. He means well. But, you know, the high school coach is teaching a class 40 hours a week for history or science or PE or whatever it is, and he's coaching another 30 hours a week on the field, and that parent thinks that coach is a recruiting expert. No, he's not. He's a professional coach. That's what he does for a living. He coaches your son, he coaches your daughter, or she coaches your daughter. It's one of those things where that's what they do. Well, there's a lot of anxiety in that because parents think that somebody else is going to handle the recruiting for their child. Now, here's the other side of that. College coaches don't want to talk to parents. All parents have rose-colored glasses in a coach's mind. Okay, every coach thinks that the parents calling is because they're going to think that their little Jimmy or their little Susie, mom and dad, always going to have a little different opinion of them than what really is.
Uh-huh.
We laugh about that, but that's the truth.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And so what we do is we do something very, very realistic, is that we meet with families. Listen, after we've evaluated athlete, we'll talk to the family about, okay, this is what you can expect in your process. And every recruiting process is unique to every kid. So a kid that's on a football team is getting recruited highly, and this other kid over here is just as good at a different position, and their parents are thinking that my boy is just as good as them, or my girl playing shortstop is as good as that second baseman is getting recruited. Well, recruiting is individual. It's individual. It don't matter what team you play for. College coaches don't recruit teams. College coaches recruit players. And so what we try to do is identify the talent and then turn around, and we hold the people's hand through the process. And here's what's really cool about this. Every single kid, Alyssa, every single athlete that National Scouting Report chooses to enroll, mm-hmm. and understand, we choose. We're not open enrollment. You know, you can't just go online and sign up for NSR. So if we enroll a kid, that kid's going to get recruited. It's not a matter of if they're going to get recruited. No, they're going to get recruited. And at the end of the day, what level of play? Well, the kid's got to have a certain skill set and certain ability. But parents spend a lot of time doing the wrong thing, sending out a bunch of film to places where the kid can't play, depending on information of somebody that they think knows somebody. And I jokingly tell people all the time, you know, pick somebody, Vladimir Putin, you know, that boy, that'll be controversial. Me and old Vlad are best buddies, because I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody by 6 degrees of separation that knows him. Well, that's not the way recruiting works. You either know somebody that's for real, and that can get you in front of a coach if you have the ability and the skill set, or you don't. And so that's what we do. We've done that for 38 years. We help parents understand where their kid fits. We help people realize what the process is all about. And then when we get involved, it's not a matter of if the kid's going to get recruited. The kid's going to get recruited, but they're going to get recruited where their skill set fits and where their academics fit as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was what you were asking me, but
absolutely.
I think that's kind of where we're headed. Really.
Absolutely, and we are out of time, but you do an amazing job getting parents, you know, through that recruiting process, and, you know, just letting them know the ins and outs of college recruiting and what to expect, and really determining, you know, what is the appropriate level for your son or daughter. And we've been visiting with Robert Cagle, National Scouting Report. Check him out online. He's the Vice President of Public Relations, and I know he's going to be dialed in watching his Ole Miss against the Red Raiders on Saturday. Thanks so much, Robert. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. So thanks so much for having me on, and y'all have a great weekend this weekend.
That, of course, was Robert Cagle from NSR. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight at SB Nation Radio. As a reminder, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and join us at Twitter @ERadioSports. So long, everybody.